And get started with this meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Call the meeting to order at 1:41 in the afternoon of Tuesday, February 11th, 2008. Members present, and I appreciate their presence today, Senator Con Bundy, Senator Betty Davis, and myself, Senator Johnny Ellis. We have two bills. I'll just repeat what I had told the audience a little bit earlier, that we'll be taking first House Bill 226, extension of the STEP job training program by Representative Coghill, followed by Senate Bill 230, which I've sponsored, reestablishing the Alaska Film Office and a film production tax credit. And my hope is to make some decisions about these bills today, if it's the committee's desire to do so. I would like to make an announcement that we have provided to each of the committee members a packet of the resumes from the governor's appointments to various boards and commissions. A number of those are within the purview of this committee. I'd like to ask each member to set aside time on their schedule to review those and to come up with a list, if any, of folks that you would like to have before us in a public hearing, a confirmation hearing, that we hope to schedule in the very near future, a joint session with the House Labor and Commerce Committee, so we can be respectful of committee members' time as well as the time of the applicants for those positions of public trust. Any questions about that? If not, I would also note before we begin that House Joint Resolution 25, supporting the right to form labor unions by Speaker Harris, is not to be heard today. It'll be before us later, and we'll let you know. And also Senate Bill 187, the Alaska minimum wage, will be taken up by this committee on Thursday. So that's the game plan. House Bill 226, I note that Reneva Moss, dedicated and loyal staffer to Representative Coghill, is with us today. Reneva, would you like to join us at the table, please? House Bill 226 is now back before us. Any comments you would like to share with the committee, remind us the issue that we're dealing with? Before you begin, I had announced at the last meeting when Representative Coghill was here that, or just reminded committee members that the Palin administration, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Moss, but the Palin administration position was to make the STEP program, this job training program that we've had for a number of years, a permanent part of state statute. And I believe that's maybe the position of Representative Coghill as well. The bill came over from the House with an extension on the, I have a committee substitute that's in your packet that extends the program. It doesn't make it a permanent part of statute, but extends the what I think is an important job training program called STEP to 2018. So Ms. Moss, if you'd like to comment on that, and then we'll see if there's committee discussion.
For the record, Reneva Moss, staffer for Representative Coghill. Thank you, Chairman. Yes, the original intent of House Bill 226 was to make STEP a permanent program. The way it is written now, it would be repealed June 30th of 2009. As Representative Coghill expressed last week, he would be favorable to a 10-year extension if that's the desire of the committee, and he would also be favorable to leaving language in the bill that would require Department of Labor to work with all the stakeholders, review the program, and see if there are more improvements. I would like to note that since Commissioner Click Bishop took over Department of Labor, he has been reviewing the program. He has been making revisions. He has been making it more accessible to the public. And he's worked very hard to increase the integrity of the program. Representative Coghill, I think, expressed last week that he has full faith in Commissioner Bishop taking this program and getting the best out of it for Alaskans and for on behalf of the legislature. So with that, I'd just like to stress the importance of having a program like this with a gas line, at least one gas line on the horizon in the next 10 years. So I think a 10-year sunset does have some well-thought-out reasons.
Okay. Ms. Moss, thank you for your comments. A couple of concerns that were brought to me by folks. One was the need by the department to address the integrity of the program and some of the processes, and you've stated that for the record, that Representative Coghill, and we've spoken with Commissioner Bishop ourselves here at this table and received assurances that they're making those kinds of reviews and improvements. If anything specific comes of that, could you and Representative Coghill make sure that other legislators are apprised of that, that we know the direction that they're moving? Any specifics about that would be helpful, and we can put those in the record. The other concern, some of the folks made a suggestion to me that we move this program out of the Department of Labor. And I listened to their concerns, but I couldn't logically think of another place that would make more sense. I know they're frustrated with some of the things there at the Department of Labor that Click Bishop has promised to improve. Do you have any thoughts about, I'm not suggesting moving the program, it was a non-starter with me after I thought about it for just a very short period of time, but you probably heard that suggestion, and do you have any thoughts about that?
Chairman Ellis, I actually haven't heard that suggestion, and I don't want to speak on behalf of Representative Coghill without discussing it with him, but it would seem to me that Department of Labor is where it should be. We're talking about training our workforce. We're talking about making untrained workforce members, trained workforce members, putting them into the labor workforce. I can't think of another department that it belongs in. But I also want to stress that Commissioner Bishop has committed both publicly and privately to enforce the integrity of the program and get with all the stakeholders, make everybody happy, which is a pretty
tall order.
Pretty mm-hmm. tall order. Mm-hmm. But Representative Coghill has faith in him.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Moss. Senator Bundy? No. Okay. Thank you. If you could just shift back over to that chair. Guy Bell. Mr. Bell, welcome. If you could just state your name and affiliation for the record, and go ahead with any comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Guy Bell, Assistant Commissioner of Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I just want to thank Ms. Moss for her comments. I couldn't articulate it much better than she did. We would support the 2018 proposed extension. It is a nice round number, 10 years, coincide with what we forecast and hope will be completion of the construction of the main Alaska gas line. And at that time, effectively, we'll have a new era in our economic state for Alaska, and it'll be a good time to reevaluate the program for its continuation. As to the engagement of stakeholders, Commissioner Bishop has appointed David Stone, our new deputy commissioner, to lead a task force to review the state training employment program, its procedures, the regulations, as well as the statute for potential changes and improvements to that program for consideration first by that task force and then for potential changes to be brought to the Alaska legislature if the stakeholders agree that they're needed next legislative session. So that process has begun. We can, if the committee is interested, we can get you a list of the names of those that we've invited to participate in that conversation. And we look forward to a good positive dialogue going forward to make sure that STEP is serving the maximum number of Alaska workers that possibly can.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Any comments or questions? If not, I'd thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Note for the record that we've been joined by Senator Stevens and Senator Hoffman. Is there anyone further to testify on House Bill 226? Gentlemen, I noted that we have a committee substitute before us for consideration or adoption and adoption, extending the STEP program to 2018. Representative Coghill's staffer has testified in favor, as has the Department of Labor. I guess the original position of Department of Labor is make it a permanent statute, but I've put out a committee substitute for us to consider today for a 10-year period of time. Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've had the good luck, good fortune of knowing Commissioner Bishop for a long time, and just like to state for the record that I share the bill sponsor's confidence that his word is his bond, and he will do what he certainly can to try to satisfy all entities. And I think the 2018 is a reasonable compromise, and encourage that we move the bill along.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? We need to adopt the committee substitute that has the 2018 date in it. So the chair will entertain a motion at this time.
So move.
Okay. Senator Bundy has moved the committee substitute. Dana, can I have a reference to the correct one? Okay. It's the backslash M, Wayne backslash M, proposed committee substitute that's in your packets. Is there any discussion of the motion to adopt? Is there any objection? Hearing none, that is the version before us. Okay, discussion on the bill as amended. The bill has a further referral onto the Finance Committee. I think it's a reasonable compromise. I appreciate your help, Senator Bundy. Any discussion? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to move the bill on to the next committee of referral.
Sure, and I move that we move
Senator
on.
Stevens.
Senate CS for House Bill number 226 backslash M on to the next committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Is there any discussion of the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, so moved, or so ordered. The bill moves on to the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Okay, give us just a second here to shift gears to Senate Bill 230. And some of the members didn't hear, but the supporting the right to form labor unions will not be heard today. Senate Bill 187, minimum wage, will be taken up Thursday. Okay, that brings Senate Bill 226 before us. There is a proposed committee substitute that my personal staff prepared based on some of the concerns and questions that arose at the last meeting and some of the suggestions from industry folks and other folks following this process. So I'm going to ask my staffer, Max Hensley, to come forward and to walk us through the proposed committee substitute. I would note that there are a number of folks listen only on the teleconference, so please make sure you use your microphones so they can participate fully. We do have a few folks here as well. Kate Tessar of the Alaska Film Group to answer questions, Dama Chazel, film production consultant, and Angela Mealy of the Motion Picture Association of America is available to answer questions. There may be questions that come up as we walk through the committee substitute that those resource folks can help us with. So with that, Mr. Hensley, please go ahead.
For the record, my name is Max Hensley, staff to Senator Ellis. And I'm just going to walk through the CS, the proposed CS, which, just to be clear, is the backslash L version. Starting on page 2 of the bill, under the duties of the film office, lines 12 through 14, it redefines the duties to avoid encroaching on what private industry in Alaska is already doing as a part of the film industry, linking the new version simply links the outside producers with Alaska businesses as opposed to taking up those roles for itself. Under the next section down, eligibility, which starts at the bottom of page 2 and continues on to page 3, with the clause that only requires producers to employ university interns when those are actually available, and clarifies the definition of obscenity on lines 16 and 17 to reference U.S. code.
So, Ms. Hensley, if I can interrupt right there on the last point. Senator Bundy had brought up a very reasonable concern at the last committee hearing about that issue, the issue of obscenity. Can you just expound on what we've done here so the committee hopefully can get a comfort level about that provision?
Yes, briefly. This references the definition that you find in Title 18 of the U.S. Code, which is used to differentiate the regulations over the commercial motion picture industry and the pornographic industry, or however you wish to term it. This is used throughout federal regulation and has been adopted by a number of states as their dividing line as well. So this makes it simpler, not only for the film office to determine what a legitimate motion picture project is, but also for film producers around the country. They know exactly what this is and
So this is the standard definition that other states with film incentives and film offices use to differentiate between legitimate and illegitimate production?
Exactly.
Okay. Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, the reason for my question is that obscenity can be a rather gray area depending on who you are talking with. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that, and as this is indicating is the case, we didn't set up the film office as some sort of censorship, and they, depending on the whim of the day and the makeup of the office, decided what or what wasn't obscene. And like conversations you and I have had, this sexually explicit conduct, I'm afraid, is getting a rather watered down description. But in any case, I appreciate the clarification.
Yeah. Yeah, this seems to be the standard way to deal with this issue. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted a clarification on the page 3, line 3, the production, the internship training program. Is this a change from what we were looking at before?
No, through the chair. It was all.
Maybe you could explain to me. I'm not quite sure I understand this. Are we establishing something in this state film organization that would do more than just contacting the university or a school and saying, what do you have and can you provide us with interns? Because it looks like maybe I'm reading it wrong. The Alaska Film Production Internship Training Program certified by the film office. So we're not establishing a program. We're just buying into what schools in the state are doing and providing interns.
Mr. Hensley?
Through the chair, that's exactly right. The university will establish the internship program. The film office will simply say that one of the requirements for receiving this potential tax credit would be to employ students who are enrolled in that program.
I guess my question would be, I'm not sure what it means to be certified. I mean, is that something that is complex or just
Through the chair, I'd be happy to look into definitions of what the statutory definition of certification is.
And we're not directing the university to do anything. The university plans to establish this, but we're not directing it. But if they did, then the connection would be made.
Thank you, Chairman. I understand that, but I guess I just am questioning that we're saying that the program, say the university program, is certified by the film office. Is that what we really want to say?
Okay, let's leave that as an open question. That's a good point. It gives that language there on page 3, line 3 to 4, gives the impression maybe of more happening than is really intended by the bill. I mean, things that we hope would happen, but the language sounds as if they were happening. I don't know if that's a stylistic.
Through the chair, on page 6 of the bill is where the internship program is discussed, and it says the film office may establish an Alaska film production internship program on a cooperative basis with the University of Alaska. So if that is something that the film office and the university decide is useful and positive, they'll move forward on it. And if they do move forward on it, productions that wish to receive this credit will need to employ those students to give them a chance to actually move forward in the industry and create Alaskan jobs.
So we still have the open question of whether that section there is, or that subsection 2 is properly drafted, and what the definition of certified by the film office. None of that seems to be a big hurdle, but we should work it out. Senator Stevens.
I think maybe we solve by just saying, I like the wording on the page 6, cooperative basis, and maybe that's what we're really talking about is a training program in cooperation by the film office with incorporation of the university. Maybe that's all we need.
Okay. If folks who are following that can make note of that, we do need to work out that language. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. I look at it a little bit differently. In that I didn't want this internship program certified by some Alaskan entity, because otherwise I could see producers coming up here hiring a couple of street people and saying, these are our interns, and give them three hots and a cot, and I mean, that's an exaggeration, obviously, but if we're, this is a level of compliance that we're expecting, then we should also have some way to determine that they are using qualified interns.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Tassar, do you want to join Mr. Hensley there? Maybe you can help shed some light on this.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Kate Tassar, and I'm the lobbyist with the Alaska Film Group. Mr. Chairman, I think the intention is if the curricula is developed as it's being spoken about now at the university, you're going to have a class that's going to be accredited. So I don't think, I understand we want to make sure it's someone who's actually participating in the class, but it may be that you want language that ties it back to the university, because presumably these will be students taking this training for credit. So that might be a way to tie it back in. What we wanted to make sure was, is since these programs aren't up and running yet, they're still in development, that we don't want that to be a detriment to people who may be coming to produce films in Alaska in the near future upon passage of this legislation. We definitely want to advance the creation of jobs for students in state, but we don't want that to be holding back the initial people that get involved in productions in Alaska. As soon as there are kids, as soon as the classes are accredited and there are students taking these classes and are participating at the university level, then they would be have to hire these interns.
Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think we're going in the right direction. There's no attempt to exclude, say, Alaska Pacific University. Is that the right name these days? So where we specify the University of Alaska, we might want to make that a little bit
expand
bigger.
That.
Other accredited institutions. Senator Bundy, on that point?
Yeah, thank you. And I'm wondering if in other states or just in your thinking, why would you limit it to just accredited institutions if a private school were to put together a film internship program and want to participate? Why would we exclude them? As long as we've got the board that certifies that they're indeed film interns.
Mr. Chairman, that is a very good point. I think we kind of discussed this last week, and obviously the film group would have no problem with changing the definition to include however whatever school or definition would cover that, because you are quite correct. There could be people having private classes, you know, at other kind of universities, okay. Schools, whatever.
And so when I stated accredited, I didn't realize or mean that to eliminate private sector or training institutions. So we need to craft the language a little more carefully here. Senator Bundy?
Follow that just a moment further, Mr. Chairman. What about an individual who self-study and is interested, applies to the board to be an intern? Would we want to exclude them? Mm-hmm. And the board has to still certify that they're serious or potential. It's a question.
I'm not prepared. I haven't really thought about that. I'm not sure if the department has thought about this or not, or if
individual basis.
I think we just defined it as had been defined as far as internships as what was going on in other states, and that's kind of where the language came from. So I think that in reality we're trying to address younger people who are in school that are looking towards the film industry as a job opportunity, and I think that that's what we were trying to address. I'm not sure we hadn't really thought beyond, you know, somebody who's in their 40s and making a job change.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I was thinking of a young person who, and I've seen some of these amateur film productions that, mm-hmm. where they're really self-taught and looking for a chance to break in, and mm-hmm. this might be an opportunity. Again, I don't want to complicate it, but
Mr. Chairman, I think that maybe the language might work then if we're talking about, I see what you're saying. I'm not sure.
Can we give some more thought then to the individual that might be certified? But we definitely have to fix this language to accommodate public and private training programs that could be certified by the film office as a legitimate internship program that would qualify for the incentive. Mm-hmm. Carol McCullough. Well, Senator Stevens.
It's just to add on to that a little bit. I mean, there are intern programs for government. I mean, we have interns around, and I assume there are more than just someone who's interested in being having a job. There are someone who's who's maybe had some classes, had some experience. Mm-hmm. So we're not just talking about anyone who's taking a class in film production. We're talking about somebody who, through a university, through a college, is a part of a program in which they, somebody has decided that this person is qualified to become an intern. So
right.
It's a little more than supervised. Just an open-ended walk in the door and we'll consider your application, isn't it?
And if I could, Mr. Chairman, we had originally, when we had our workshop last fall, we have been in contact with the Department of Labor about them getting involved in this. So, I mean, I foresee at some time in the future that there could actually be some sort of class through the Department of Labor or up at, you know, Avtech. I mean, there's a lot of different ways it could go. So sure. I agree that that does need to be expanded. It's something we hadn't really thought about.
It just, you know, as after I sponsored this bill and started receiving all of this avalanche of support and questions about how this is going to work, I had no idea what the potential was or what was going on out there and what's going on out there with outside workers mm-hmm. that could be Alaskans. Very few Alaskans are employed on these because we don't have the trained Alaskans. We don't have a program. We don't have an incentive. We have really been missing the boat for more than a decade. And so I think there is great potential for these intern programs to be very popular with folks and for those people to go into good paying jobs. Mm-hmm. If we could just replace half of the outside workers that the film production crews must import to have the trained workforce, we will have had a significant, not just a blip in the economy, but there's significant money to be made right here. So I get more and more enthusiastic as more people get in touch with us about and thanking Senator Stevens for his co-sponsorship and Senator Davis and others as well. So I think we're on to something good here. It's just a matter of working out these details so that everybody can have a comfort level with it. Senator Bundy.
I had several questions if this would be appropriate with Ms. Tessa.
Sure, and I also want to note Carol McConkie of the Department of Commerce is online.
She's in not case, here.
No, here she is, right here. Okay. Carol, why don't you shift over to this chair, if you would, and then you can get to the microphone if necessary. And before Senator Bundy, do you have any questions or any comments you'd like to make about the overall direction we're taking?
For the record, my name is Carol McConkie, and I manage the tourism and film development programs within the Department of Commerce, Office of Economic Development. I do have Mr. Chairman, a statement to make on behalf of the department. Would you like me to hold that until later?
No, let's go ahead and do that now. It might engender some other questions.
We really appreciate the opportunity to be here to address you on behalf of Senate Bill 230. As I listen to you talk about what you've learned as you've introduced this bill and listen to the support that has come in, is exactly how I've felt in the last few years since I have worked with the Alaska Film Program. I have had an opportunity to work not only with the Alaska Film Group, but various film industry professionals throughout the state, and also with communities that think that there is a great deal of opportunity to bring more productions to the state. And we at the department acknowledge that opportunity and that we are missing opportunities. We now dedicate about one quarter of my time to working with the industry and doing a limited amount of response, and limited, I mean, not proactively going out there and getting generating business, but being able to answer questions for business that does come in. And we send those requests directly out to the industry because we do feel very strongly that it's not the role of government to take to fulfill roles that the private sector can fill much more ably than we can in many cases. And so we're the conduit between the demand and the supply, which and we want to put our people to work is our primary interest. We have also, as part of our responsibilities, have spent a lot of time researching the industry, talking to other film offices and professionals, not only in the United States, but in Canada, our competitors, and actually film offices throughout the world, that meet quite regularly for education and trade show opportunities, and we talk about these opportunities. There's a lot of information sharing and professional support, even though we're all competitors. And I've had an opportunity not only to talk about what is and what isn't working, learn about the incentive programs that are bringing business to other states and countries. And the interesting thing about it is you can really measure the success of these programs because you look at states like Louisiana and New Mexico, where the film industry didn't exist until their film incentive programs were put into place. And so I know how important the measurement mechanisms are. We put together a net return report, and we're working to improve that. We would definitely want to include film in the net return because we feel like that there is some real opportunity to grow an industry that's quite small at this point in our state, and to look at a new program and see what the benefits of that program would be. So for us, the measurement mechanism that's built into this program is very appealing. We also, with regard to the intern programs, we have always tried to bring interns into our offices to work in fisheries and mining, in tourism, and they've been a great asset to our office. And so we ourselves would employ interns as ours to assist our development staff, and we have been in conversations with the university systems and how we can work better together. So we feel very strongly that there's a good opportunity for partnerships, and we acknowledge that there's a great role for government to work more closely with the private sector in this business, in this industry, and would definitely be willing to answer any more questions. We've put together a business plan that's in draft format that addresses everything that you have asked for in your bill, and I think that we also have some measurement mechanisms in place that we would be well prepared to move forward with the private sector and see what kind of exciting things that we could bring to our state because of this industry.
That's exciting. Yeah. Oftentimes we have people from the executive branch here saying, whoa, hold back. We need to think about and study this for the next decade. And we really, you know, all the reasons why we can't move forward. And so I'm very encouraged by your positive attitude. And it's fair to say that you all think this is a good tool for the state to have to move forward.
We do, Mr. Okay. Chairman, we do.
Well, I appreciate that's a refreshing attitude. For folks to say, let's get going, and this is a positive thing. So thank you for that assessment.
You're welcome.
Questions or comments for Ms. McConkie? Senator Bundy.
Yeah, thank you. And let me out at the outset declare a remote conflict of interest. My son is a concert producer, promoter, has been involved in some video productions in the past, and could possibly, by some remote extent, benefit from this legislation, so I just wanted to put my potential conflict on record.
Okay.
A couple of questions. You mentioned your interns. Do those interns have to come from a university or some certified program, or could someone with practical experience and interest show up and a sufficient resume and intern?
Traditionally, our interns have come through the school systems, whether it's high school or universities. I don't know. I couldn't answer today if that is an absolute requirement whether it's just a policy that we've implemented through the department. I understand the point about bringing in other people that may be self-taught, because we, with the technology that's available to our young people today, we've got a lot of budding filmmakers out there that can get started with very little equipment, and they teach themselves so much by the time they get to this point. So I would be very interested in working with the film group and with you, Mr. Chairman, to be able to look at some other ways that we could be inclusive enough, but at the same time be able to sort of be inclusive, and then also have a way of certifying or registering these people with the department as a bit, you know, as a being available to participate in the intern program.
We'd make that request. I think I can say that on behalf of the committee, for you all to think about your internal procedure, and if there's a way for interns in your department to enter other than just through certified or university or job training internship programs. Mm-hmm. The self-taught person, could they come and apply? It seems like they ought to be able to be considered and not just shut out as a matter of course. Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And as you think about it, I'd encourage you to explore it thoroughly, because this is an intern program is a big thing. I mean, it's not an easy thing. It's not a simple thing to enter into. Do we have a responsibility to the interns? Do we have a responsibility to make sure that they are safe? If they're young people, are they in a secure situation? Can the state be sued? Can you be sued, your department, if something bad were to happen to an intern? So I think there's a lot of things that this implies that needs to be thoroughly thought out, and I appreciate your giving it some consideration.
As Senator Stevens, through the chair, I fully agree, and I do know that with our current intern program that there are requirements, you know, that we have to have in play, or in terms of protection, and same as we would any of our employees. When you do have young people out on a set, in a less controlled environment, there would definitely be considerations that we need to take in to think about. I do know that when you've got young people working on a production, that there are department labor requirements, child labor laws that come into play, and so I guess we would be looking at the age of the intern, and also what kinds of coverage would be provided to them, not only as intern, it would probably primarily be through the university and their coverage, but it's definitely something we'd want to consider and nothing that we would take lightly.
Okay, there are two ways to handle this issue about the internship program. We can do a conceptual amendment, or we can work on language. We can do a conceptual amendment. I think it's pretty clear the will of the committee. We could do a conceptual amendment and send the bill on, or we could have language drafted and have it back before us on Thursday for review. Senator Bundy?
Yeah, I'd be comfortable with the conceptual amendment, and I'm comfortable with the notion that the film division or department would certify the intern with the verbiage in the language section there that discusses interns come from a program or other sources that the department would certify as mm-hmm. adequate.
Right. And to allow public and private institutions to generate such a program. Okay, Senator Bundy, could you just restate that so we could consider it as a conceptual amendment?
Well, we already have the verbiage that they would be certified, and that intern could be defined as a participant in a public or a private program or an individually designed program.
Okay.
I
Senator Davis.
Concerned about that. I understand what he's saying, but in the conceptual amendment, it's going to be the film office. It's going to be them that certifies, not the training, private or public.
Correct.
Yeah. They'll be sending those people there, and they have to have a standard set up for certification,
right,
or a certifier, whatever it is. Like, you could easily say that it would be done by the film office. Well, whatever the interns enter into the program or ask them to be in the program will be certified by the film office. That's who's going to move the certification,
right,
not the university.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I know how to do that work and I came there and they had a guideline to go by, they would look at that and they could certify me, even though I didn't go to school. They'd have to draw up the guidelines.
Senator Bundy and then Senator Stevens.
And Mr. Chairman, I, unless I'm misunderstanding, I think we're in agreement. The film production internship training program certified by the film office.
Okay.
There's nothing that says that can't be an individual program, a private mm-hmm. program, university program.
Mm-hmm.
And then perhaps you have to define someone who's an intern is someone who is adequately prepared to benefit from this experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On that point, Ms. McConkie?
Sure. Senator Davis and Senator Bundy, through the chair, what immediately comes to mind is that currently we have a website where we have film industry professionals list their information, contact information, and their interest in working in specific areas. Now, I don't certify that each one of them has gone to college or filmmaking school or has credentials, but we allow them to list resumes and their websites and information that directs, that allows our filmmakers to contact them. And I would envision that through, we could do this through regulations, writing some regs, to talk about how we would set up the criteria. And it would be set up so that your individual filmmaker demonstrating an interest in some way could register with us and be certified as being interested, but wouldn't necessarily have to be part of a formal program. And that's just some immediate thoughts that come to mind that are related with this that could be worked out with the industry.
But this this section is connected to the to the incentive. So we're expanding beyond what we originally had in the bill. The kind of internship person that can trigger the incentive for the producer. Is that true? So it was a tighter definition. We are expanding it. I'm not objecting to that, but this is tied to a percentage incentive to the producers. Senator Bundy?
Thank you. It says when interns are available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this actually makes it more likely, I think, that someone could take advantage of the incentive, mm-hmm. incentive program because if there aren't any coming through, the practical realities are most interns will come through some university or program, I suspect. But if there aren't any available and there's someone in the broader definition is available. But this makes more interns available, but it does not say that they'll get the incentive without the intern,
mm-hmm.
if that's what your concern about the expansion was.
No, you're right. Senator Stevens?
Oh, thank you, Chairman. As always, the more we talk about this, the more complex it becomes. And there are people, professionals, or even semi-professionals in the state of Alaska who could be hired. And a company may come to Alaska and say, I'd much rather hire someone who lives here. I don't have to find them a home and all that. And they know Alaska. So there are professionals who could be hired. We're talking about interns, which I assume would be mostly young people, who are wanting to break into the industry. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to help them to do that. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate your desire to move this along, but the next committee is finance, and they will be looking at, as they should, at fiscal issues.
Right.
We should be looking at the details of the bill.
You're
and,
correct.
We should have this. Unless you think there's a real reason to rush through this, I would like to see us have this done, in a comfortable way to all of us. Before
I agree. I've come to that conclusion as well. We had hoped to move it along, but there's sufficient question about the language here, and this is the purview of this committee to have everything but the financial aspects worked out here. So it's the responsible thing to work on this between now and Thursday and have the language before our committee for you all to be comfortable with. But we want to make sure we've examined every other issue that might be a concern as well before today is over. Senator Bundy.
With that in mind, I do have a couple of questions.
Okay. Is there anything else on the internship aspect of things? If not, we're going to work together to have language back before us on Thursday for action and to move the bill along. Senator Bundy, other questions?
Yeah, this might be most appropriate for Ms. Tessar, but whoever could answer. These potential applicants for the economic benefit or the tax credits, they would have to be corporations who then indeed would be liable to Alaska corporate income tax. Is that correct?
No, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Bundy through the Chairman. What traditionally happens is when a film production company is coming into a state, they set up a limited liability corporation. And so they aren't, they would not be paying corporate income taxes in Alaska. And in reality, part of the reason that we've set this up in the manner we have is because they do not have corporate tax liability. That's why we have the transferable tax credits, so that Alaskan corporations with corporate tax liability are able to get the tax benefit. The benefits that come to the state would be through the taxes that are paid locally, through the small businesses from construction and catering and the jobs. It's all going into the local economy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that's one of my frustrations. We're giving a tax break to someone who doesn't pay taxes, or an entity that doesn't pay taxes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's always nice to have local businesses benefit. But my concern from where I sit here is the state bottom line. Mm-hmm. We're going to put $300,000 a year into this, and it doesn't look like then. And my question then is, when does the state recoup its investment? And maybe through local businesses that pay taxes eventually. I'm asking a question that is probably very difficult to answer, because we won't know, indeed, if ever we will get our money back on our investment. But isn't it a little illogical to give tax breaks to someone who doesn't pay any taxes?
Senator Bundy, through the chairman, I think that considering the huge amounts of money that are coming in to other states based on their experience with attracting film productions, the real benefits of having a film production company in your state are the benefits that it brings to the community and the locals that are participating in the increased economic activity that a multi-million dollar production brings to that community. So as far as when will the benefits be seen to the state, I guess it depends on how you feel about the trickle-down theory of how this money coming into the state would be. It's money that's not coming into the state right now. It will affect a multitude of small businesses in whatever community they decide to work in. And as you say, there will be increased business taxes. There could be building sets. There's a multitude of ways that there would be increased taxes that could eventually some come down to the state. But it is definitely more based on the economic impacts that it has on the community versus the state as a whole.
The local impact. Mm-hmm. We choose not to have a mechanism by which jobs and money spent at the local level accrue to the state treasury directly. We just choose not to operate our government in that way. Senator Bundy?
I do have a couple more questions.
Sure.
I would just, as an aside, say that I think that is a huge loophole in Alaska's revenue right now, that we don't tax LLCs, mm-hmm. and we are missing a lot of corporate tax, but someday when oil's gone. Mm-hmm. On page 3, subsection 4, where it says sports events or sports program, does that mean that ESPN couldn't come and do a documentary on the Iditarod and receive credit in this program? I'm not sure how expansive that prohibition is.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not really sure that I'm actually the person that can answer that, but I think this has to do more, if someone's doing a documentary on the Iditarod, it's a documentary. So I don't think, did you want to comment on this?
Go ahead. I think we're differentiating between documentaries and other feature productions, and then broadcasts of sporting events. And go ahead, Mr. Hensley, you understand better.
Chair, that's exactly correct. This language is used in almost every state that has this type of program, and it refers to, to my understanding, it refers to live broadcasts of things like the shootout or baseball games, things like that.
Okay, thank you. An additional question, if I may. Mm-hmm. On page 4, subsection F, the film office may not seek recourse against a producer or a taxpayer who has acquired a tax credit if it's subsequently disqualified, even if it's a fraudulent application. I mean, it seems pretty broad. They got away with it, and we can have no recourse.
Which line are you on, Mr. Bundy?
Page 4,
20.
Subsection F, line 20.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if Dama Chasel's online, I would like her to address this because this is language that we've talked about specifically with people who are involved in the productions.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if she's...
Ms. Chasel, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you get closer to your microphone? just speak up with your name and your affiliation, and then please go ahead.
Hi, this is Dama Chasel. I'm a production executive. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to answer a few questions. Typically, in other state languages that are involving a transferable tax credit, which is the proposal on SB 230, there is language that is absent producer fraud. There will be no recourse from between the transferor, which would be the production LLC, and the transferee, which would be the recipient taxpaying corporation. And I think that's the spirit of what was written here. But if it needs any refinement, we're certainly open to hear any questions about that.
Yeah, absent fraud is certainly...
Absent fraud, that would help.
Yeah, that's typically included. And that allow, again, it's to allow the ease of transfer between the production company LLC transferring to, in this case, the Alaskan state taxpaying entity. And they're not in the film business, and they don't want to be responsible if there's a problem. And if they buy it, the tax credit at a typically reduced price, we want to ensure that those transfers go smoothly. And if we say absent fraud, that typically covers it. But I'm glad you brought that up because it's a good question for everyone to add to right now.
Okay, Mr. Hensley, can you put that on your list of things to tune up with the drafter for the next meeting?
Through the chair, yeah. I will, and also through the chair, I just want to note that prior to the awarding of any credit, the cost and spending reports are required to have been verified by an independent CPA.
Okay. Ms. Chasel, thank you for hanging in there with us on the teleconference. I noted at the beginning Angela Mealy of the MPAA was online. Angela, did you have any comments you'd like to make? Do you think we've made the right choice there on the issue of obscenity and the standard we're setting?
Yes. The one comment that I would make in the draft that I have, it references Title 2256. I believe the correct reference is 2257.
Mr. Hensley?
The Title 2257 refers to record keeping for films that do come into contact with Section 2256, which is the specific definition.
Right. 2257, Title 18, 2257 is what all of the other state statutes reference, so I just thought I would make you aware of that.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
Okay, so are there any other issues to highlight, any other details that the Labor and Commerce Committee should deal with for our Thursday meeting? We'll have a new CS for us to consider. Senator Bundy? Mr. Hensley?
Mr. Chair, if you would, we're interested in my continuing through the changes that this CS contains.
Sure. Yeah, we did get sidetracked, didn't we?
I hate it when staff is always right.
I know it. They keep showing us up all the time. Mr. Hensley, please continue.
Thank you.
And don't cause any controversies because we
I'll
have
do what
enough.
I can.
Okay.
So on page 3, line 18, section under qualification for the film production tax credit, removed the requirement for a production to have a pre-existing distribution plan. A number of smaller independent productions are...
Can you speak up?
Smaller and independent productions do not come up with distribution plans until the completion of the production, and so that we didn't want to disqualify them from participating in this program.
So we're looking out for the little guy or little gal?
Exactly.
That's a good thing.
And it's important to remember that the little guy and the little gal in the motion picture industry is not necessarily so little. Those are still going to be significant contributors to the economic impact of the film industry. On the bottom of that page, the award of the film production tax credit, starting on page 3, line 31, continuing through page 4, increased the tax credit rate from 25% to 30%, and the bonus rate for rural and winter spending from 1% to 2%. This was in discussion with our production consultants and other production companies that Alaska still contained a number of difficulties that would make 25% not quite enough to drag them up here. Mm-hmm.
They basically said, if you're going to do this, you might as well make it worth people's while, or you won't get the impact that you're looking for.
Exactly.
Okay. But that's getting close to my threshold of support. So I'm willing to support that. Going much further would be difficult for me personally.
As I previously mentioned, lines 20, we changed the definition of the requirement. This is lines 14 through 16. The producers provide the film office with a production cost report. It was previously audited. It now must simply be verified. There's levels of scrutiny that a CPA can provide at a lower cost to allow independent and smaller producers to be able to bear that cost, yet still prove the qualifications of their spending in the state.
Okay.
Page 4, lines 7 through 9, a clarification of the definition of payroll. Spelled that concept out. And then lines 17 through 20 added the construction of film and television production infrastructure to the list of qualified expenditures so that...
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bundy?
Yes, we're on this page. Starting at line 23, the determination of qualified expenditures. Just mm-hmm. a question, was any thought given to limiting that to approved Alaska vendors? I could see somebody buying everything in California, bringing it up in mass, and not making a lot of local purchases because they bought in volume or something somewhere else.
The language here is expenditures directly incurred in this state. The goal is to only reward spending.
Oh, there we are on line 26. I thought that was
exactly
in this state.
And as you
incurred in this state.
Yeah. Okay.
And as you go through the list of different services, you'll see that they're as much as possible related to the to be limited to Alaskan-owned or operated businesses.
And Mr. Chairman, for the record, when you say incurred in the state, that doesn't mean they placed the order while they were within the state. This is expenditures that occurred within the state with state businesses. Is that accurate?
Yes, not coming physically to Alaska to order something from California, but to incurred in the state. We can double check that with the drafter
to
make sure it's airtight.
With the drafters to make sure that is correct.
Okay. Please proceed. Senator Bundy, you're going to make this from a good bill into an excellent bill before you're done.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know I have...
I need you as a co-sponsor, don't I?
A cynical point of view, but...
I'm going to get you as a co-sponsor before we're done.
I think your lawyers are craftier than ours, likely.
Okay. We don't want them to outwit us, so we will double check.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Hinson.
Continuing. Under... Line 23, production costs that may not be considered as qualified expenditures.
Page 5,
line 23, change the wording to the cost of a report or examination from the cost of an audit because of the previous change in regards to requiring an audit, as well as on lines 28 and 29, clarifying that the amounts that are later reimbursed, which result in a reduction of production costs, so that money shifting around that is spent, that is legitimately spent in the state, is not non-purposefully disallowed. And then finally, two changes within the definitions section, which starts on page 6, line 8. Added the production of a television pilot. To expand that from series that have already been picked up to prospective series. Those can also be major business. And then within the definition of a rural.
So where are you again?
This was line 11 through 13, the definition of producer. Previously, only applied to film, video, commercial, or television, and this adds television
pilots.
And then the final three lines, a rural area, meaning a community, previously a community of population 5,500 or less, not connected by road or rail to Anchorage or Fairbanks. And this brings it into line with other statutory definitions used in other areas of Alaska statutes.
Okay, so that's standard to other programs.
Including smaller communities on the road system.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Ensley, thank you for keeping the details straight. Thank you for following up on some of those issues that the committee has highlighted.
Yep.
And we plan to have language for your consideration on Thursday. Senator Stevens, I appreciate the nudge. We were moving toward that. I don't like to do conceptual amendments when we can avoid it, so we gave it a shot, but it's we'd be better considered to have the language in writing. Any other issues that people can think about that we need to have for Thursday? If not, we will have a new CS, and I hope to take action at that time, because we do need to get in the queue up at the Finance Committee, and we'll make it an immediate request for hearing. Is there anybody who needs to say something about the film bill that didn't have an opportunity to do so? Any other comments? If not, the hearing on Senate Bill 230 is now closed. And that's all the business to come before us today. Good work, people. We are adjourned at 20 minutes until 3. Thank you all very much.